Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching entitled Hebrews Highlights was recorded at our 2008 Boston Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
You don't need to beg God to pour out His Spirit. You don't need to ask God for more. People are always saying, oh God, just give me more of You. I don't like that kind of stuff. Somebody says, well, what's wrong with that? Because that's implying that God is the one that's controlling the tap. God's the one that determines how much joy you've got, how much love you've got, how much victory and how much anointing. And so there's lots of religious people that are praying for a double portion. Oh God, give me a double portion of the Holy Ghost. And they go back and talk about Elijah and Elisha. And Elisha got twice of the Spirit as Elijah, and they're having Elijah nights where come and we're going to pray for you and you'll get twice the anointing. It's wrong. In the Old Testament, it is true that people only had the Holy Spirit in degrees and in portions, but in the New Testament, we have the fullness of the Godhead on the inside of us. Now, that doesn't mean that we have the fullness of God in our minds. Our minds are renewed to it and that we are experiencing all of the joy and the peace. But God has already placed all of this on the inside of us. In the Spirit, you've got all of the Holy Spirit that you can get. Now, we're going to have people come forward for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that's talking about receiving the anointing and drawing out and releasing what you already have. And then when you operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that's a separate thing. But you already have the fullness of the Godhead dwelling in you. You don't need any more. What you need to do is start drawing out and using what you have. People are saying, oh, I know faith works, but oh God, I just don't have any. Oh God, give me more faith. The Bible says you have the faith of Jesus. That's another teaching. I got a tape out there entitled The Faith of God. And you already have all of the faith. If you're born again, you have the same amount of faith that Jesus used when He raised Lazarus from the dead. You don't need more faith. You need to start receiving and using what God gave you. A scripture goes along with this. It's Philemon chapter 1, verse 6, where Paul was praying a prayer for Philemon. And he says, I pray that the communication of your faith would become effectual. How? By begging God for more faith. By pleading with Him. Asking Him to pour out His Spirit. Oh God, give me more. Oh God, touch me. No, it's by acknowledging every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. The way your faith begins to work is by quit begging God to do what He's already done. You've already got it. So quit trying to get it. Start believing what God has done. Find out what happened when you got born again. I don't know if you're following me, but what I'm saying is diametrically opposed to the vast majority of Christians. They are asking God to heal them when the Bible says, by His stripes you were healed, 1 Peter 2:24. If God has already done it, why are you asking Him to do it? Well, because the doctor says, I've got this disease. That's only telling you what the physical realm is like. They can't tell you what you're like in the Spirit. They can't tell you that what Jesus gave you. The Bible tells you who you are in the Spirit. And in the Spirit, you have the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, living on the inside of you. You don't need God to give you more power, to give you faith, to touch you, and give you more joy or anything. The Bible says in Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. You've already got those things. Why are you asking God to give you what the Bible says you've already got? The only logical answer to that question is that you don't believe, or you don't know, therefore you don't believe that you've already got it. Since you don't feel it in your physical body, then we think that we don't have it. But there is a spiritual part of you that is identical to what the Word says, and you already have these things. So I get all of this. I'm saying all of these things based on verse 23, Hebrews 10:23, where it says, let us draw near. It's not saying, oh God, open up the way, because God's already opened up the way. God has already split the veil. The Holy of Holies is now open. God is there with His arms outstretched. You don't have to pray and ask God to pour out His Spirit. Oh, God, love me. All you got to do is believe what the Word says and you draw near. The responsibility is on us. If you want revival, quit praying for it and believe that God has placed the same power on the inside of you that raised Jesus from the dead. You start building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in tongues and operating in the Word of God. Go out and raise somebody from the dead and you'll have all the revival you can handle. Amen. Get out of your prayer closet begging God to do what He's already done and start believing that, man, I have the power to raise the dead. I have the ability to lay hands on the sick. You know, Melinda was giving the testimony about Samantha being back here and these people who just received the Holy Spirit back there laying hands on each other and miracles happening. That's revival. And we didn't pray and beg God for anything. I have people come up to me all the time and says, would you please pray for me? I just don't feel the love of God. Would you please pray that God would pour out His love in my life? Most people think that's a good prayer. Boy, that bothers me. It bothers me when people say things like that. I mean, the spirit of slap comes on me where I just want to pray. Somebody says, well, what's wrong with a prayer like that? You're implying that if you don't feel love, then it means that God doesn't love you. So God's got to do something to prove His love to you. If Jesus coming to this earth isn't proof enough that God loves us, then I guarantee you, you're just too full of unbelief. It's not God who hasn't given, it's you that's not believing.
That's right. That's right.
If a person would come to me and say, I know that God loves me and I know that the Word says it, but you know what? I've just had things happen and I'm blinded to it. I know the problem's me. It's not God. Would you please pray with me that God would open up my blinded eyes and help my dead heart to receive and understand what I know to be true? I'd pray with you about that. But if you come and say, would you pray that God would do something and move in my life? No, because God's already done His part. God's not your problem. It's not God that hasn't healed you. It's not God that hasn't poured out His love and joy. It's us that are so occupied with the cares of this life and the junk of this world that it's choked truth. And we are now going by our feelings and by our emotions. And if we don't have a goosebump, then we think that God must not be here.
Hallelujah.
We'll come into our church and say, well, God wasn't within 100 miles of that place. Why? Because people fell asleep. Nobody ran, screamed, jumped a pew, hollered. No goosebumps up and down your spine. So, well, God wasn't within 100 miles of that place. We'll come in and say, oh, God, we ask you to meet with us tonight. Oh, God, just be with us. That's a stupid prayer. That's a stupid prayer. Did anybody miss what I'm saying? Was that too subtle? Somebody says, well, what's wrong with that? The Bible says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. And yet you come in and, oh God, please be with us. That's a stupid prayer. It's based on unbelief. Instead of praying, oh God, move. Oh God, come and be with us. Oh God, go with us as we leave this place. Oh God, do this. Oh God, pour out your love. Oh God, send revival. Oh God, heal me. We need to get to a place where we believe that the veil has been rent. God has paid the price. The way is open. All of the sacrifice has been made. Now, it's your turn. How are you going to respond to this nearly too good to be true news? Are you going to believe that God has done this? Are you going to believe that you've got love, joy, and peace? Are you going to start building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in tongues? That's Jude chapter 1, verse 20 and verse 21 says the results of that is keep yourselves in the love of God. It's not up to God to love you. He's already loved you. He's already commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. He's already commended His love towards you. You don't have to ask God to love you. Now believe that He loved you and stir yourself up and keep yourself in the love of God. Walk into the Holy of Holies. Begin to fellowship with God. Build yourself up. Encourage yourself. First Samuel chapter 30, verses 4 through 6, David was in a bad state where his people were even talking about stoning him. After 13 years of being anointed by God, and since God touched his life, everything had gone wrong. Amen. I mean, his His father-in-law had tried to kill him, had taken his wife and given her to another man, and was his life was just nothing but a pain ever since God anointed him. And now his own men were going to stone him to death. And it says David wept until he couldn't weep anymore. But then it says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He didn't call out and say, oh God, I'm just at the bottom. Please touch me. Please do something. And then if you don't have an epiphany in 5 minutes, turn on the television and while I'm waiting on God, I'm just waiting on God. No, David encouraged himself in the Lord. He took the truths that God had shown him and he took the Word of God and began to build himself up and encouraged himself. Most people are so passive. We aren't taking responsibility for our life and we're saying, oh God, would you please heal me? God, would you please move in my life? And we act as if we have nothing to do with it. God, I can do nothing. People will come all the time and say, the doctors have given up. It's hopeless. Would you pray for me? That's a wrong attitude. This kind of prayer where, oh God, we have no power at all. Now, Jehoshaphat said that in 1 Chronicles chapter 20 when the enemies came against him. He says, Lord, we have no power at all against this enemy. Our eyes are on you. And people will quote scriptures like that, but that was an Old Testament man that didn't have what we have. We now are born again. We have the raising from the dead power of Jesus on the inside of us, and you are never powerless. Amen. I don't care if you are destitute financially tonight, you aren't powerless. God has given you the power to get wealth, and if you'll quit sitting on your hands and praying and asking God to just give you money and get up and lay your hand to something and start believing that God has put power on the inside of me and I'm going to prosper. If you start doing that, you'll start seeing some things happen. But basically, the body of Christ is powerless and, oh God, we have nothing. We're just praying. We're waiting on you. Oh God, send revival as if it's His fault. It's not God's fault. It's our fault.
That's all the time we have for today. But be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the book of Hebrews. This teaching series was recorded at our 2008 Boston Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for CD series R1061C or DVD series R3206D when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The third CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RK155 titled, Please God, Do Something, when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. Our telephone number is 719-635-1111, and our web address is www.awmi.net.
I'd like to encourage you to come out and participate in one of our Gospel Truth Seminars. I know sometimes people who listen on the radio think, well, I've already heard what you've got to say, but it's just totally different when you get into a meeting and we develop an atmosphere of faith and we have Bible college students and people there praying. We see a lot of miracles happen. And I go out an hour before every service. I'm usually one of the last ones to leave. There's a lot of ministry that takes place, and I tell you, it would be a tremendous blessing to you. It's quite different than just our radio programs. So check our listings and come visit us at one of our Gospel Truth Seminars.